Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
While it may be good to stay off Twitter right now, there are some people who can manage to make you smile. For example, Colin Quinn tweeted last night, "Everybody needs to be nice to nerds with glasses for the next few weeks, or at least until they find a cure. Hashtag that's an order." Quinn has made a career of making a point with humor. And politics has been one of his main targets. In his one-man show, Red State, Blue State, the former SNL Weekend Update anchor confronts both ends of the political spectrum and asks, if we hate each other so much, why do we keep trying to make it work? Quinn takes an amusing yet sharp look at the factors that have contributed to our fractured country and offers a few ideas about what could be done. The show, which was recorded at Hunter College, is now available on Netflix. And since you might be spending some more time at home, we think it's worth checking out. We caught up with Colin when the show premiered downtown before moving uptown for the Netflix taping. I began by asking Colin Quinn what he liked about using history and civics to create a show.
I just feel like it's good. I look at it like it's just so obvious to me that when Steve Jobs first came around, like in the late 90s, he goes, computers are going to revolutionize. And we all kind of believed it. He goes, we're going to get rid of world hunger. It's going to make communication and stop war. And like, I personally was like, yeah, that this stuff really is that radical. It could change things. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't change anything. So it's just amazing to me that human nature is still the same after all these years, and that we still can't even figure out, like, look at our country, but as sophisticated, whatever that, you know, I mean, and that you would think at this point evolved, we all know better than to have a civil war or to lead what looks to me like a war, but people don't stop. Once it gets in the water, everybody's just like sharks, you know, everybody just immediately starts getting scared, or the worst people come out. And once the worst people lead, it's only a matter of time before it goes this crazy place. And that's how it is, you know.
Let me ask you about if the internet is true on this one. In the research, it said you were writing something else in 2016. You were working on something else.
Yeah.
And then the election happened and it was like a record scratch.
Yeah.
What was it specifically that you heard or you realized that you thought, wow, this is alarming and I would like to address it?
I think it was the fact that I realized that I knew people in the red states didn't like what was happening, and I agreed with why they didn't like what was happening, by the way. As far as, I'm not talking about Obama, I'm talking about culturally that they're the bad guy in every scenario in the media. They're just the fool and the bad guy. So you want to do that to 49% of the population, whenever they are, 45, fine, but they're going to react. But when they elected Trump, I was like, this is extreme.
This is extreme, this man.
Okay, come on. You take it a little far. So, I mean, so I just felt like, wow, this is really a breakup. This country's, and I was in a small town in Kansas. I was doing a college in Kansas, and I had to take the guy that drove me back to the airport, like an hour and a half, an old farmer guy. So I was talking about Trump, and I was just like, you know, I mean, obviously I said, I understand why you don't like the left, but I said, but this guy, you know, he's just a bad, just everything you're against. And he goes, I like him. And he had this look on his face like, I don't want to hear, I'm like I say in the show, he's the hill I'm ready to die on because you pushed. So I just feel like I feel like neither side understands that ridicule and just this constant attacking, mostly social media based, and it's not an effective strategy for communication. And it sounds like the most obvious thing in the world, but it's leading to a very, very bloody place, in my opinion.
You don't talk about President Trump a lot in the show. Was that you do for brief and it's pointed, but yeah. It's not a show about Trump at all. Was that a conscious choice?
Yeah, because like I say, right after I talk about Trump, I go, after Trump leaves, our problems aren't leaving with him. They were here before him, mm-hmm. and they're going to be here after him. So he's just the manifestation of the ugly, like he's almost a symbolic, like I don't take him as a real thing, you know, even though obviously he's affecting things very badly, but I'm saying he's a manifestation of what's going on. So I don't look at, he's not our problem. He's just a thing that exists when this problem happens.
It's interesting in the show, you point out the hypocrisy on the right and you point out hypocrisy on the left.
Oh, yeah.
Give me an example about each. Give me a red state hypocrisy and a blue state hypocrisy.
Well, I say that the red states, you know, they vote based on Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and the blue states base their vote on the Chomsky reader. and I say, you know, the red states see a Muslim invasion and the blue states see a Nazi invasion. And they were both they're both fantasies in their mind.
I'm wondering
and
about
projection.
Now, you're Brooklyn born, you're a New York dude, right? Parents were teachers?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think, you know, New Yorkers sometimes will think we're sophisticated. We think about a lot of things.
Right.
Are we in bubbles as much as the Red Hatters are?
Absolutely. I mean, I speak the language more because I grew up here. You know what I mean? But
are you you're bilingual?
I mean, I would say, yeah, I understand like people, but once again, people don't understand. I feel like people miss the basic point of America, which is you don't get to tell other people how they're going to live. It's the only principle that our country's based on, and that's what's going to lead to this trouble. And that's why I say people should break up. Like, you're not going to, despite years of, you know, whoever it is, Paul Krugman, I mean, whoever it is trying to say, look, here's the way you have to see things. People are like, no, I see things this way. And a lot of people make moral judgments on the red states as being a certain way. And some of them are true and some of them aren't true. And some of the things they say about the blue states are true too, you know? So it's like, you know, if people want to keep talking like this and acting like this, I'll see you, you know, I'll see you when we're all decapitated and kill each other, because that's the only place it can lead, in my opinion, you know.
Or you're going to have a red state passport and a blue state passport.
That's what I would like to do, yeah.
Where do you think? Is it the mountains? Is it the Mississippi?
I think we should break up the country into rural, suburban, and urban, because I feel like suburban is a different personality than rural or urban.
That's what, you know, I think it was one of the New York Times columnists mentioned that it's not a East Coast, West Coast. It's an urban, rural break.
Urban, rural, and suburbs. Mm-hmm. You can't discount the suburbs. Suburbs are big.
Yeah.
Suburbs were like the American dream at one point. So, I mean, it is interesting. But the sad thing is, you know, you see Bosnia, Rwanda, all those things that happened. And I remember how shocked I was when those things happened in the 90s. I was like, what? This could still happen in the 90s? And it could happen tomorrow, you know.
I at one point was talking to friends and I said, wouldn't it be weird in 1,000 years? Like, the United States, that was an idea.
Exactly.
It's about 200 years. Can you believe they actually got that through for 215 years?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's that moment. But and then you start thinking about it and it's scary.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, the fall of Rome was longer than we've been a nation, as they always say. And so it's like, yeah, I mean, things happen. And then in the rearview mirror, it'll be like, yeah, that was a stupid idea. This America, they thought they were so unique.
My guest is Colin Quinn. The name of his new show is Red State, Blue State. The show's staging is really interesting. It's you, and then there's a backdrop, and it's a map of the United States, but it's very weathered, and sort of you can't see the edges. What kind of conversations did you have about the staging?
Well, I was talking to Edward Morris, was the designer. Great job. And yeah, we talked about the United States map, but almost bleeding, you know, almost like it was just slowly bleeding out. And so that was, I think that's what inspired him. He went, you know, that was his idea, and it's great.
So in the show, you say city states.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. What will that accomplish, Colin?
Well, nothing. But I mean, it failed in Greece and Rome too, but it worked. I mean, but the philosophy is correct, which is, like I say in the show, you know, if you have different, Sparta and Athens had nothing in common, so why would they be around each other unless Persia invaded? So it's like when Persia invaded, then they could unite. Otherwise, you know, you have nothing. It's like a bad marriage where you go, look, why are we together after all this time? We don't get along. Every day is just constant bickering. Nobody in this country is happy right now except people that love conflict. If you'll notice, the only people that are energized by this are people, the fastest typists and the people with the most time on their hands, I always say. That's what social media is for. And it's the people that love conflict and fighting. That's who's energized right now. And that's on both sides. And that's, I think, the prelude to something bad, you know?
So one of the issues you tackle in this is censorship. How do you think censorship factors into this division?
Well, I mean, censorship. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know. Where do I tackle censorship exactly? I mean,
when you talk about like sort of that, it was something
about comedy,
or more about political correctness. Maybe that's a better phrase.
Well, people always, Here's the other thing that bugs me, just a personal thing. It's like when anybody asks me about political correctness and I give my opinion, then everybody goes online and goes, whining about political. It's like, people ask me, what do you want me to do, not say my opinion? It's not like I'm out in the streets protesting political correctness, but, you know, you have to give your own opinion. But, I just feel like, well, in the case of just the fact that everybody is language police, it's such a serious thing. And like anything else, everything starts as a great idea. Political correctness started as a great idea.
Yeah, don't hurt anybody's feelings. Exactly. Don't be a jerk.
But now it became, once it enters my arena, comedy, the whole point of comedy is people get their feelings hurt. It's comedy. Somebody's got to get hurt. I always give that quote. That's from Jack Simmons. Comedy is, it's one of those things where it's insult, and who... It's the question from the beginning of the country. Who gets to decide what offense is? So that's where it really gets to be weird. And now it's getting to a point where everyone's like, well, you can't punch down, for example. And guess what? I have bad news for everybody. Comedy punches down sometimes. And it elbows people when they're not looking. And it kicks people and it fights unfairly. It's comedy. It doesn't just punch up. There's no Marcus of Queensberry in comedy. It's just the way it is. And guess what? There's plenty of comedy that offends me. I get offended by plenty of stuff. And I'm like, that's in bad taste. And I don't even like being that I have to defend shock comedy. Because I'm like, I see myself.
It's not your thing.
It's not my thing.
It's actually not your thing.
And I'm like, I got to defend because, the union. Hey, you know what I mean? It's a collective bargaining sometimes.
So it's funny. This is one of the great lines from the show. Free speech did nothing but give everyone an opinion, and social media ruined opinions.
Right.
How so?
Well, because it was supposed to be the ultimate democracy, like I say, and just drunks at a wedding grabbing the microphone. So it's just everybody is just talking all the time. Like, and it's like everybody should just get everybody in the country, including Trump, should be limited in to like two tweets a day. And if you tweet about the same thing once, you can't tweet about it again until the next day. You shouldn't be allowed to repeat the subject matter more than once a day. I mean, Trump's a perfect example of somebody who's addicted to Twitter and won't stop tweeting all day. And it's not good for him. It's not good for us. And it's not good when anybody does. People go, but he's the president. Anybody, I don't want to hear it. It's too much. You checked in. We got your opinion on that. You don't have to say it every day, all day,
Do we not spend enough time together face to face? Is that the issue? Because when you're with somebody face to face, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to be a troll face to face.
Yes, I agree. I mean, look, I'm as bad as anybody. I'm on my phone. We get into rooms with people and we all go on our phones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I said in my other show, I said, we should be having constitutions. We should have had a national constitutional convention at least once a year for the past 10 years, a real one. But you have to talk to the public, too, and say you're not allowed to criticize and comment until it's over. You can't be micromanaging every day until it's over. And we should have had a racial one every day, racial constitutional convention, black and white, for the last 10 years, too. Every once a year, for like a month, a constitution where people talk about a safe space, where people say exactly what they want and they can't get blowback until it's over. That's what I would have done. If I ran this place.
So there's a great moment at the end of the show. But when you go through every state.
Yeah.
And you sort of just give the nut graph, the elevator pitch of every state.
Yeah.
Have you had anybody come to you and be offended?
Well, no, but a couple of times people have gone like, oh, when you get to their state, and I want to go, really? I just trashed 18 states and you're pissed because your state got hit? It's not like... I'll give credit to New Jersey. Every night, they get the biggest laugh, and they just put up with it.
I'm a Jersey girl.
So you understand. Jersey people.
It was hard. All right, let's go. Wait, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm sorry. I shouldn't ask you to do this, but what's New York?
New York, from drunken writers at the Algonquin to drunken texters at SantaCon.
What's Connecticut?
I have a couple like Connecticut. Connecticut's kind of I'll give you my favorite. I've been arguing with the whole, we have a different ones. But my favorite is from founding fathers to trust fund babies.
We have a big audience in California. What's California?
California, all the natural resources in the world, all the fruits, vegetables, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and you're still bankrupt. Maybe you're just stupid.
And what's Delaware?
Delaware, I'm a state. Oh, yes, you are.
And Maryland. Maryland's another good one.
Oh, Maryland? Yeah. Maryland, stealing everyone else's accent and combining them is not having an accent.
The control room wants Jersey. All right, Jersey.
Jersey. A bad idea that continued.
Oh, thumbs down from me and from the executive. Maine is clapping. What's Maine? Maine is my producer.
Maine. Early risers that still think talking is for queers.
The list goes on and on. When this is like the most journalism 101 question. When people leave, what do you want them to talk about when they go to the bar after seeing your show?
I want them to
put down their phones first and then what?
I want them to say, this guy's really genius. No, that's what I want them to say. But I mean, yeah, I mean, what I want them to talk about is like, oh no. Like, I really do believe, I mean, I it drives me crazy to say it, but I do believe that we're headed for a big problem, like a big—
like a conflict? A real,
yeah, like a real
thing?
Violent thing. And it's not going to be online for long. It's not going to be online forever. And that makes me sad because I'm like, wow, you know what I mean? It's— you know, I mean, I'm old, but, you know, I feel like this is, it's sad if we have to go out like that. Like you said, if we have to go out and people are laughing at our great idea 1,000 years from now.
That was my conversation with comedian Colin Quinn. His one-man show, Red State, Blue State, is available on Netflix.